Thank you for taking the time to listen to this audio sermon from Apostolic Worship Center. Our prayer is that you'll be encouraged and blessed by the anointed Word of God. If you'd like more information about Apostolic Worship Center and its ministries, visit our website at www.awcnorman.com.
We're going to turn to the Word of the Lord today. Reading from the 7th chapter of the book of John, John chapter 7. Scripture tells us of an incident that takes place in the life of Christ during the last day of a feast, the Feast of Tabernacles. Scripture says that in the last day, that great day of the feast, Jesus stood and cried. This is what he cried: "If any man thirst, let him come unto me and drink." He then gives an explanation of what he's just gave an invitation to. And he says, "He that believeth on me, as the scriptures hath said, out of his belly shall flow rivers of living water." He said, if you'll come and you'll drink of what I have, then in turn out of your belly shall flow rivers of living water. And then in parentheses, the Holy Ghost gives explanation as to what that living water is when he says, "This spake he of the Spirit, which they that believe on him should receive. For the Holy Ghost was not yet given, because that Jesus was not yet glorified." And I preach simply from this subject today: come unto me and drink. Come unto me and drink. Would you ask the Lord to help us together now, Jesus? I'm asking you, Lord, God, for the next few moments, God, that you would help us in imparting the words, God, that you have already deposited in our spirit. God, help us, O Lord, to break the bread of life. Help us to receive it. Help us to act on it in faith. And God, indeed, let that water, that living water, flow in this house today. In Jesus' precious name we pray. Would you lift your voice and your hands to the Lord? And would you just make a joyful sound of praise to the Lord Jesus Christ? Can we do it now with all of our heart? Praise God. Oh, let's just take a few unhurried moments today. Let's just give him some high praise. Just lift our voice and hands and rear our heads back and just give the Lord some high praise. I praise you, Lord. 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 Hallelujah. 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 And you may be seated. God bless you. It has well been said that water is the driving force of all nature. In other words, it is vital, important, and cannot be left out. It's necessary for both the existence of human life as well as for plant life. Statistics tell us that water covers about 71% of the face of the earth, 96.5% of that being ocean water, therefore not being drinkable, leaving possibly a little over 2.5% for fresh water that is accessible and drinkable and can sustain human life and plant life. Of all the water that exists and covers the earth, only 6 billion people out of 7.8 billion people have access to clean water. It's hard for you and I to understand and imagine someone not having access to this life-sustaining liquid that you and I need and that is available to sustain life. And yet there is one person out of every 10 that does not have access to this water that can provide life and can cause them to sustain what God has created within them. God seems to have designed the human body in such a way to require water. Think with me for just a moment that our bodies are 60 to 70% water. Our brains are 75% water. That might be a problem. Our lungs are nearly 90% water. Our blood is 82% water. Does anybody get the hint that God might think water is necessary to sustain life, to bring about productivity? Our body requires lots of water to maintain an internal temperature balance and keep the cells of that body alive. In general, it is said that a person can only survive 3 days without water. In other words, someone said it like this: there are thousands that have lived without love, but not one person is able to live without this life-sustaining force called water. Now, what's true in the natural is mirrored in the spiritual, because in Scripture, the Spirit of God, that spiritual life of God, what we might at times refer to as the Holy Spirit or the Holy Ghost, it is used in typology as water that flows and sustains not the physical man, but sustains the spiritual man. The prophet Isaiah in the Old Testament likened the Spirit of God to this flow of water when he said in Isaiah 44:3, "I will pour water upon him that is thirsty and floods upon the dry ground. I will pour my Spirit upon thy seed." Isaiah says that there will come a time when God's Spirit, like water, will be poured upon him that is thirsty, and it will be like floods upon dry ground. He goes on in Isaiah 55:1, and he says, "Ho," or listen here, let me get your attention. I need you to look right here. "Ho, everyone that thirsteth." If you're thirsty, he says, "Come to the waters." What waters? The waters of the Spirit. Just as the parched tongue and the thirst-fatigued body understands the need for spiritual water, so only the thirsty soul understands the value and the need for the quenching flow of the Spirit of God. That's the reason why it's important for you and I to long after the Spirit. That's why it's important for you and I to long after the move of the Spirit and the flow of the Spirit and the operation of the Spirit. As the psalmist said it like this: "As a hart panteth after the water brook, so panteth my soul after thee, O God. My soul thirsteth for the living God." What is my soul thirsting for? It's thirsting for that spiritual water of life. My soul cannot be sustained without the water. It cannot be sustained without the flow of the Holy Ghost and the operation of the Spirit of God. There is no spiritual life. Just as there is a desert because there's no natural water, there will always be a spiritual desert where there is no spiritual water. Just as there is no life given to a plant without water, so is there no spiritual life given to the soul without the operation of the Spirit. Let's make it crystal clear at the beginning this morning: we need a flow, a flood, an operation of the Spirit of God to sustain us. You can't sustain spiritual life just on church attendance. You can't sustain church or spiritual life just on a church program. You cannot sustain spiritual life just on a function or a formality of religiosity. The only way spiritual life can be sustained is it must have the water of the Spirit to touch it and to flow over it. And to that I say, God, open the floodgates of heaven and let the flood of the Holy Ghost pour upon my soul. It's well been said that sugary drinks does not really quench the thirst of the physical body. It only satisfies it for a moment, but it doesn't really satisfy the need that that body has. And just as those sugary drinks cannot supply what the body really needs from what water can give, neither can the soul be satisfied with the beggarly elements of this present world. It's only the flow of the Spirit. You can't satisfy your soul with the worldly process and the worldly ideas and worldly involvement. It's going to take a whole lot more than alcohol to satisfy your soul. It's going to take a whole lot more than a drug or a nicotine or any other party life that you might invest yourself into. You can't satisfy that soul with those things. It may be for just a moment. It may be for a little while, but it's not going to satisfy. That craving's going to come back, because what your soul wants is what Isaiah describes in Isaiah chapter 35 when he says the parched ground. The parched ground, the ground that is without life-sustaining flow, it's going to become a pool, and the thirsty land is going to become springs of water, and grass is going to begin to grow, and they're not going to hunger or thirst, and neither is the heat of the sun going to smite them. He's going to have mercy on them, for springs of water is going to guide them. What my soul needs more than a fling, it needs a flow of the Holy Ghost. It needs the operation of the Spirit of God. There's nothing in this world. Hear me now. I said there's nothing in this world that can satisfy you like the Holy Ghost. Come on now. There's nothing can satisfy you like the Holy Ghost. There's sometimes you just got to get a big old bottle of water and you just got to drink it. That's what your body's got to have. There's sometimes you just got to throw both hands in the air, rear your head back to heaven and say, God, I need a drink of the Holy Ghost. I need you to flood in my soul. I need you to pour out in my spirit. And if I can have that, I've got spiritual life. Does anybody want a drink, a satisfying drink of the Holy Ghost? Let me ask this question. How long's it been since you drank at the fountain? Can I ask somebody that question? How long's it been since you've drunk at the fountain of that life-sustaining water, the Spirit of God? In our text this morning in John chapter 7, Jesus brazenly, almost arrogantly, comes into a feast of the Jews. He comes in on the last day of that feast. That feast has consisted for the last 7 days of a procession going to the Pool of Siloam, drawing water from that pool into a pitcher, and then they would carry it with great fanfare, oftentimes quoting the Hallel Psalms on their way back to the temple. And they would take that pitcher of water and they would bring it in and they would pour it upon the altar. And as they poured it upon the altar, they would begin to shout praises unto God. No one really knows, because it was not something that was prescribed in the Old Testament law, where this particular custom come from, whether they were commemorating the rock from which water flowed in the wilderness, or whether they were just asking God for water in time of famine and believing that this activity could bring that. Needless to say, Jesus takes advantage of the moment of water being the center subject of the day, and he takes advantage and he stands in John chapter 7 and verse number 37 and says, if any man thirst, let him come to me and
drink. In this moment of religious barrenness, in this moment where religion had not provided soul-sustaining strength, in this moment where religion had failed to produce the end result that it needed to produce, in this moment where religious activity had left them as barren as they were when they came in, Jesus stands and says, "If any man thirst, let him come to me." In other words, if you're tired of dry, dead religion, if you're tired of barren formality, if you're tired of an empty religious ritual, come now, come now. Let me give you what this is all about. Drink of me, of this spiritual life, and you'll be provided with something that will change their heart. I believe the Lord is still standing today in the midst of religious formality, and He's still announcing from John chapter 7 and verse number 37, "If any man thirst, let him come unto me." If the theatrics of religion isn't doing it, He's saying, "Come unto me, drink. I'll give you the water of life." If the choreographed religion that is performed Sunday after Sunday isn't getting the job done, come to me and drink of the water of life freely. It is an invitation to those that are tired of dead, dry, barren, plucked up by the roots religion to experience something that's life-changing, life-sustaining, and life-powerful. Come on to me and drink. Now get the picture with me for just a moment. Jesus comes into this feast. And as He comes into this feast, He's noted in the community. He's known in the area. The fame of Him has gone from Dan to Beersheba. He's not a stranger in this moment. They recognize Him. They know the story. He's born in a stable in that obscure village called Bethlehem. They know the story that He is a Nazarene, having made His abode in Nazareth, a place from which no good thing could come from. They know that He Himself has attested to the fact that the Son of Man hath no place to lay His head. And so Him standing here on this religious moment, this moment of religious activity, and Him standing here and saying, "Come unto me, come unto me." I'm sure somebody must have reached up and scratched their head and said, "Hey, hold on. I know you was born in a manger. I know you grew up in Nazareth. I know you said yourself that you are of such poverty that you have no place to lay your head. How is it now? How is it that you have anything that could provide the source of life? Where is this coming from?" You've got to provide an explanation now. If you are saying, "Come unto me and drink," then just what do you have, and what is your source? You would have to go back a few chapters prior to John chapter 7, to those early chapters, John chapter 4, when Jesus felt it necessary to go through Samaria. And once going through Samaria, He pauses at a well of water for just a moment, only to find a Samaritan woman that comes to that well. And He asks that woman that comes to the well, "Give me to drink." The woman looks at Him and recognizes Him as a Jew, and she says, "How is it that you, being a Jew, ask of me drink, which am a woman of Samaria?" The Jews have no dealings with the Samaritans. We got some racial issues going on. There's some biasness and some prejudice that's happening, and I don't understand this conversation when Jesus begins to bring her spiritual illumination in John chapter 4. In verse number 10, Jesus answered and said unto her, if thou knewest the gift, somebody say the gift, if thou knewest the gift of God. When he said that, he is identifying himself as the gift of God, because every good and perfect gift cometh down from above, from the Father of lights. Does not John 3:16 say, "For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son"? He said, "Woman, if you only understood, if you only understood that I'm the gift of God to you, then you would ask of me drink that would give to you living water." Notice now what the woman says in John 4 and 11. She says, "Sir, thou hast nothing to draw with, and the well is deep." Watch your question now. From whence? Notice now, from whence? If you're saying you are the gift of God, if you are saying that you have this source of living water, I need a little information. From whence then hast thou that living water? Or in better terms that we might use today, it's how do you have this water? How are you the source of this? How can you deliver this water? Maybe the wise man of the Old Testament can spread a little light on her question of how that Jesus is the source of this water. When you read in the 30th chapter of the book of Proverbs, and you read in verse number 1, you read of a man by the name of Agur who has some sons, and he's speaking to these sons, and he tells them in verse number 2, he said, "I'm a brutish man more than any man," or he said, "I'm not a smart man. I'm not very wise." He said, there's a lot of things that I don't know, and there's a lot of things I don't have understanding of, as maybe other men might have understanding of. And he said, I've not learned wisdom in verse number 3. And he says, this is where I really struggle. He said, I don't have the knowledge of the holy. He said, I might at times be able to put my hand on some earthly knowledge, but he said, the things of the holy are beyond me, and I cannot comprehend them, and I do not understand them. And then he proceeds now in verse number 4 to explain what he doesn't understand. And he says in verse number 4, "Who hath ascended up into heaven, or descended? Who hath gathered the wind in his fist? Who hath bound the waters in a garment? Who hath established all the ends of the earth?" He said, there's some things I'd like to know about God. He said, I can't see him. I can't lay my eyes on him. And yet I understand that he has power enough to gather the wind in his fist. He has power enough to establish water in a garment, and to establish the ends of the earth. And then he poses this. He says, "What is his son's name, if thou canst tell?" He said, the only way I can get any understanding about God, he said, is if he had a personality. If he had a personality, if there was a manifestation of him, if there was something that would reveal him, then I might be able to understand God that can hold the wind in his fist and take water and wrap it in a garment. What is his son's name? What is his manifestation? What is the revelation of this God? Surely there is something that can manifest him. Notice that Jeremiah calls God in the Old Testament the fountain. The fountain. Somebody say the fountain. He calls him the fountain of living water. Yes, Agur might say, I know he's the fountain of living water, but what is the personality of that God? What is His Son's name? What manifestation is there of this fountain of living water? Isaiah says it like this, that out of the wells of salvation, you're going to draw with joy out of those wells. Yes, God is a well, but it's beyond my understanding. Agur asks again, what is His Son's name? What is the manifestation of that well? What reveals that well? What brings that well before us tangible? That's why John begins his gospel in John chapter 1 and verse number 18. He says, no man hath seen God at any time. The only, here it is now, here's Agur's desire, his prayer that he prayed in Proverbs chapter 30, the only begotten Son which is in the bosom of the Father, He hath declared Him. This invisible God of the Old Testament, this invisible God that was known for His power, now is manifested by His Son. He's now made visible by this visible body, or as Agur says, He's now water wrapped in a garment, so that when you looked at Christ, you looked at the living well of God made manifest. When you looked at Christ, you looked at the fountain of living water wrapped in a garment of flesh. Now suddenly, what could not be comprehended by the human mind can now be touched by the human hand. Now it's brought into reality. That fountain, that source, that flood, that water of life now stands in the body of Jesus Christ, so that when Jesus stands on the last day of the feast and He says, come unto me and drink. You that are athirst, come and drink of the water of life. He's saying, you know what? I'm water. I'm water wrapped up in a garment. I'm a well wrapped up in a body. I'm God right here amongst you. And if you're thirsty, you can have water. If you're thirsty, you can have life. Come unto me. You see, Jesus, Paul said it in Colossians chapter 1 and verse number 15. He says, Christ is the image. He's the image of the invisible God. That the only way that we can see God is through the image of Jesus Christ. So Jesus Christ is the very person of God Himself. That's the reason why it's God in Christ. God manifest in flesh, because Christ was the living embodiment of God upon earth. Jesus was literally the garment of the well of living water. He was literally the garment of the fountain of living water. That's why He can stand and so boldly say, come, come now, come. Come unto me. Let me give you drink. Because He wasn't speaking as a Nazarene. He wasn't speaking as one born humbly in a manger in Bethlehem. But He was speaking as the fountain of life. He was speaking as the living water Himself. Because He was water wrapped up in a garment. Did not Zechariah said it like this in Zechariah chapter 13 and 1. He said, in that day there shall be a fountain. What's going to happen to that fountain? It's going to be open to the house of David. He said, in that day there's going to be a fountain that's going to be open. In that day there's going to be a flood that's going to come upon dry grounds. In that day, there's going to be a flood that's going to gush out upon that parched territory, that's going to bring life and going to bring growth, and it's going to bring that sustaining power. There's going to be a fountain open. That's the reason why when Jesus hung on the cross, suspended between heaven and earth, and hanging there, Scripture tells us in John chapter 19 and verse number 34, when the soldiers had went to those on the left and the right and had broken their legs so that they would hasten their death, they came to Christ and they saw that He was dead already. And Scripture says a soldier with a spear pierced His side, and blood and why water? Because He's the fountain of living water. Why water? Because He is the living water. Why water? Because He's water in a garment. And when that side was open, He says, come now unto Me, because no man can come unto the Father but by Jesus Christ, because He is the very fountain of God. I don't know about you, but I'm so glad I came to Him. I said, I'm so glad I came to Him. I'm so glad. Is anybody glad on a cold Sunday morning now? Nudge your neighbor and say, are you glad? I'm so glad I came to Jesus. I can't get this from a personality. I cannot get this from some religious entity. I cannot get this by just walking in a building. But the day I came to the fountain of living water, the day I came to repentance, the day that I bowed my knee before Him, the day that I was buried in the name of Jesus Christ. Has anybody been buried in the name of Jesus? The day that I was buried in the name of Jesus for the remission of my sins, He filled me. I said, He filled me with the water. He filled me with the water of life. And I've never been thirsty again. Is anybody glad you came to Jesus? Is anybody glad you came to Jesus? I said, is anybody glad? Come on now. Come on now. He's not just another man. Come on. He's not a prophet. He's not just a good person. He's the very fountain of life. He's water wrapped up in a garment. He's been manifested. Thank God. Oh, come on. Somebody ought to praise Him. Somebody ought to praise Him. Somebody, come on. Have you been to the water? Have you been baptized? Has your sins been washed away? Has that name been called over you? Are you filled? I said, are you filled? I said, are you filled with the water, the Spirit? Woo! Come on now. That's the reason why He said, then in John 7 and 38, he that believeth on Me, he that believeth on Me, he that believeth that I'm the fountain, he that believeth that I am the well that is drawn out of, he that believeth that I'm the water in a garment, he that believeth that I am that soul-quenching power, he that believeth on Me, as the Scriptures have said. Watch now. What I got in Me is going to get in you. It's going to be in your belly. And it's going to flow. Flows of rivers of living water. Can I tell you something? Okay. Now put your thinking cap on. Somebody reach over here. You smart guys, go reach over here and put your thinking cap on. Come on, put your thinking cap on. There you go. Okay, anybody got your thinking cap on? You can't go to the same river twice. It's impossible. You can't go to the same river twice. Say, well, now I know better than that. I've been to the Red River. Is that a river?
River.
It's a river, okay. Men of the Red River. What's some other rivers in Oklahoma? The Canadian River. There. Have you ever been to the Canadian River? Huh? Once or twice. Once or twice. Rode your four-wheeler through the river. Yeah. Go to the Red River, the Canadian River. You can't go to the same river twice. Now, the banks may be there, but the river's not the bank. The river's the water. The water that was there when you were there last is not there now. Because what does it do? It moves. It flows. It's always turning over. It's always different. There's a constant flow of it. What does he say? Out of his belly shall... Now that's our problem. We got stagnant experience. We got dead experience. We got pond religion. When we're supposed to have river religion. We got a pond religion. We got the same water. You just keep showing up. And it don't ever change. It don't ever move. But you got to get a river experience. Because this thing is new. Woo! It's new. I wish the doctor had let me preach like I'd want to preach right now. And I'm testing him at this very moment. But oh friend. You got to get something. You got to get something that will let you move. You got to get something that moves inside of you. It's got to become new every day. It's got to become new every day. It's got to become new every moment. This thing can't get stagnant. It can't get old. Because what he's put inside of me is a river that flows. Come on now. I feel him. I feel him. I'm sorry, doctor, but I can't help myself. I feel him. I feel him. And it feels good. But tomorrow, it's going to be brand new. It's going to be brand new. It's going to be brand new. Hold on. Tuesday ain't going to be like Monday. Come on, Wednesday's not going to be like Tuesday. Next Sunday's not going to be like this Sunday. Out of his belly. Out of his belly. I wish somebody get your belly a-moving. All out of his belly. It's going to flow rivers. Rivers. Rivers of living. Woo! Where did they come from? They come from the fountain of living water. Woo! Come on, is it a flowing? Come on, is it a flowing? Come on, is it a flowing? Woo! Yes, 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 yes. Come on, somebody ought to come to Jesus right now. Say, I need a fresh drink. Somebody ought to come to Jesus right now and say, I need a fresh drink. Somebody ought to come to Jesus right now and say, I need a fresh flow. Somebody ought to come to Jesus right now and say, I need a new movement of the Holy Ghost. Ah, hallelujah. I had it yesterday, but I need it today. I had it last week. Monday and Tuesday was good, but I need a new drink, Jesus. Somebody stand. Would you lift your hands to the Lord? And would you give him a shout of praise all over the building? Come on now. Come to him and drink. Come on, sir. Come to him and drink. Come on, ma'am. Come to him and drink. Come on, young man. Come to him and drink. Come on, he's the fountain. He's water in a garment. You can draw out of him wells of living water. Hallelujah! 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 Woo! That's it. Go ahead. Go ahead. Somebody's tapping into it right now. Somebody's tapping into it right now. Somebody's tapping into it. Come on, somebody, drop your bucket into Him. Come on, somebody, drop your bucket into Him. Pull out. Hallelujah. 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 Oh, yanda la la riata ya bahata. Come on. Somebody, just step out in the aisle. Throw your hands in the air. Just start moving here toward the front. I feel Him saying, come to me now. I hear Him say, come to me now. Come to me. If you're thirsty, if you're thirsty, if you're thirsty, come to me. If you're thirsty, come to me. Hallelujah. If you're thirsty, come. Come to me. Ask of me. I'll give you drink. It'll flow in you. It'll move in you. Yes, 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 yes.
You have been listening to an audio sermon from Apostolic Worship Center located in Norman, Oklahoma. We are located at 3221 North Porter Avenue, Norman, Oklahoma, 73071. Our service times are Sunday at 10 o'clock a.m. and 6 o'clock p.m., and we also have various ministries happening on Wednesday night. For more information, visit our website, www.awcnorman.com. You can call us at 405-329-1285 or email us at info@awcnorman.com. We hope that this recording has been a blessing to you.